Wonderful. So we might take a deep breath if you need. We're going to wait until we start with the proper call, the rest of the call. I'm just going to take a 2-minute break, and we'll wait until everybody else comes on, and then we can continue question answers or whatever else is on the agenda today. So I'll be right back. If you do need to take a break as well, go ahead. Okay. Good. So if anybody is able right now to maybe share or to maybe ask a question or anything else so we can continue. This is pretty much the last two calls, this one, another one. We have another one. And, of course, tomorrow of this year's course. And and I remember there were a few questions in the Facebook group, and I think one was sort of a little bit about my own awakening. It's quite a long story, and there are some things that I sometimes I find is very precious to me that I like to actually share more in person. So I usually decide to do that in during the retreat. And it's complex, and it's not as, you know, so simple if I want to, you know, share a lot of things that might be even helpful. And regarding the 12 chakras that were asked about, I will talk more about the 12th dimensions, which I think are just really the same thing. They're related to that. And I never really worked with the chakras so consciously in that sense. And because we understand these chakras to be not training wheels, but they're like they were a helpful structure for us before, within the matrix, before we were freed from it, so that we could actually navigate out of the darkness and actually come to see the light. So that they are ojo de luz in Spanish, eyes of light, because if you look at a chakra from the front, you will see this, it's like you're looking into the center of a flower and there's a light, you're looking into the core. And we are now going directly into the core, so we don't really need to bother too much about that. And if you are taking your hand and you're running your hand in front of your chakras, up and down, you might notice that they are very indistinct and it's more like a field of, energies, and it's not really the way it was maybe 10 years ago. So if there's anything else I forgot, please remind me. So there's no hands up. Everybody's doing good, yes. And let me see here if something that arises from my side. For those that were here from 5:30 onwards, like half an hour ago in the first batch of initiation, you probably noticed that the second initiation was different. Maybe it was more palpable. And like I said earlier, that something that is more palpable has more density to it. There's more form. Density is form. And it was a mantra. And it comes to the lineage of my teacher, Swatantra. And it comes through, you know, it's literally a yogic tradition. And that is a form. And it's really helpful, especially if you have a hard time sometimes, you know, being formless and your mind is busy and you're all caught up in life. There's nothing wrong. You know, we sometimes need these training wheels, and then when we don't need them, we'll take them off. And there's nothing wrong for the first-year students to use this mantra if you feel like that's really nice, because somehow, sometimes just the right thing. It's just like taking a shower and shifting your energy. It's just sometimes you do something that's has form within time and space that shifts your energy, so that you are become again this unboundedness that you are, the self that you are. And so if you are this is your first year in the course, then you feel like sometimes I don't even feel like doing this mantra because I'm already in meditation. That's absolutely fine too, because in essence, the transmission of source of purity is always there. So it's contained in it. It's just that the wrapping is different. Sometimes it's like a garment. The garment is more finer or more, has more stability to it. It's more like cotton or linen, or it's more silky and transparent. So that's all it is. One isn't better than the other, because it's more about what makes sense for us. You know, it's just like the clothing we wear in different temperatures, and we're always different. So I hope that makes it a little clearer. Okay, there's a question. Yeah, okay. Is this Winona? Hello there.
Hi there. Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'll be doing the initiation tomorrow, not today. So, but I still felt things, that's for sure. It was beautiful.
So. Okay. So you came in like just a few minutes ago, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was, but still could feel some of what was going on, especially in the denser part, I think.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to, I don't know if it's really a question or not, or observation. I had my puppy dog put down this week, mm-hmm. and there was just this thing about the mind and decisions, and like how it spun the wheels around deciding and mm-hmm. making it into this drama. Mm-hmm. But soon as the decision was made, it was like, which was in the vet's office when she was laying down. And it was, there was just such, and there's been a lot of this since, this total, absolute silence
mm-hmm.
that is almost deafening. It's so quiet. It's like, and that there's just no looking. There's just nothing to look for. And it feels like that was the gift, one of the gifts, you know, like, I mean, I love my doggy, but she is a doggy, right? And just to feel, there's, I guess that's the other thing I noticed, is that her spirit just went, like there was no hanging around, and it was just like, as if it just totally merged immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've felt the death of people, it seems to be a little more complicated, or maybe it isn't, and I just made it so.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's just the quiet. It's like this.
Is that nice?
Deafening. Oh, it's like there's just been, there's no, like after she went and the vet came back in and said, you know, well, you can stay with her if you want for a while. And I'm like, well, she's not here. And I left, and I just, I went to the beach and had an ice cream and sat there in silence with all the noise of children around me. And I wish I could explain it. You probably can feel it, but it's just like, oh. Oh, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were saying that she merged right away. Can we change the language a little bit? Because mm-hmm. it indicates that there's a duality. Mm-hmm. We experience form, like you see a dog, or you sense with your eyes and your hands and your senses, physical senses, and then with the inner senses, you know, on the astral, you sense a being moving or merging somewhere. But even on the subtle, that's also duality. So it's still all part of illusion, right? So can we say that when the physical form in front of you literally began, when she didn't move anymore, there's a sense of like just matter, right? There's no animation mm-hmm. left. When that happens, in that moment, you were able to let go of the concept that this was a living dog. Mm-hmm. And you freed yourself, and in that moment, because it was a dream, right? So there's mm-hmm. it's almost like a little gap, something rips open, and you're becoming aware of this roaring silence. Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's just reverberating, it's ripping through this this mind, right? And basically informing everything down into every cell what is really true. So these moments of birth and death are really profound for humans. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. There's been very, very few moments since then that I have felt, you know, like the urge to cry, which has hardly happened. And even when that urge, it's like I just go to the stillness and there's just nothing then, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no reason to cry. And there's not even a reason to celebrate. Like, you know what? Like, it's mm-hmm. like, yeah. There's
nothing has changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing's changed because that silence, you know, you're aware of that silence now, but it was always there even when the dog was alive. It's just that the form is so noisy and distracting. That's why you weren't aware of it. It was always
That's
there.
That's what I felt. Yes, mm-hmm. like when I came home, like, and that night, the whole house was so quiet, right? Like, I mean, at the inner level, my house, inside of me, and mm-hmm. also the outer. And it was just this. Again, everything was so quiet. It was just everything. I don't even want to call it beautiful. It just was. I guess mm-hmm. there is. Mm-hmm. I'm still feeling that way around here. You know, like, yeah.
is this quiet, this silence, is this something that's separate from you?
No, not at all. It feels... No, there's no feeling, actually. Yeah, it's not separate.
It's like a real letting go where as consciousness move outward, touch, play, feel a dog, and then that is gone, and suddenly you fall back into non-doing as a consciousness, which when it becomes a sort of that authentic consciousness that's not distorting itself.
And when it comes... Go ahead, sorry.
When you say yes, you're not totally understanding, right? But try. Follow into it.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Let's make it easier. You just be just you as consciousness right now. It's just here, right?
Yeah.
And is that different from that what you've described, the silent, roaring, whatever space? Is that the same or is it different?
It's the same. Yeah.
Mm. So it was always there, and there was never a separation between you and that dog. Wasn't it all the same consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And so if that's all the same, what about everybody else here on the call, and me included? Are we separate, or are we also all that?
You guys are all that at every level. I can see. I just have that little tiny sense of my mind wanting to grasp that thought. But when I just feel, when I'm just here, yes, absolutely, the stillness. I mean, the isness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
all there is.
And that's all there is. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You or me or yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
Like, it's just a melting. It's a melting of boundaries, I guess, or melting of walls, or I don't know.
Yes.
It's a melting.
Yeah, I used the word boundless earlier. And that's the enlightened state, is that you have. There's a boundlessness. You're blown out. That's the best way I can always say the mind is blown out. It just cannot hang itself ever again to believe in form. when that happens, that is, that what I consider the full awakening. And that starts to drill itself then. We're going to talk more about that during the retreat. It drills itself then into the physical form, into these, and we basically then begin to grow into all these different dimensionalities, because there's many dimensions to grow into for the physical form, right? So we go, it's okay, don't want to make it too complicated, but yeah, so boundless.
Okay, beautiful, thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Oh, thank you
for sharing. Okay, anybody else would like to ask or share? Otherwise, so we'll just complete the call for today. Okay, I'll just there's a couple. Ruth Ann, hi Ruth Ann. Hi there.
Hi, thank you so much. I was wondering if you feel comfortable talking about giving some information about your teacher and how you met them and who they followed.
Oh, the left brain stuff. Okay.
I don't know. It brings you to the right brain to hear that story.
Okay. I put a picture up of 3-4 weeks ago, so Tantra Jyoti.
Oh, okay. The
white, yeah. Oh, you missed that. Okay, yeah, with the white hair. And I met her in Vancouver because she had come back from India. She and her husband, Mahanand, and her three children, who were all grown up, three boys, she left Quebec. She was a Canadian and went to India, and they lived there their whole life. Like several decades, and she had to come back because Mahanand had needed medical care. He had severe asthma, and when he was younger, they gave him cortisone a lot, like these sprayers, these puffers, and it ruined his body. So you know how it gives you osteoporosis. So anyways, I came here, and she stayed here, I think, about 3 years. And I basically, during that time, she gave a public event, and that was in early 2000. I had just come back from Australia. And I wanted to just continue to just sit in satsang because I knew I had to keep just sitting in satsang. And it was at the at one of these halls, and I actually literally ran into them at the door as they were bringing in certain chairs. And so we had like a right an encounter outside. and then there was a hall of people. It weren't that many. I think it might have been 60 people. And interestingly, I was the only one who actually followed up to go to the satsang at their house, which was about on the same street, on Elgin Street, just at the other end of the street. And I was amazed that nobody from that evening would be interested in seeing these people. It was just mind-blowing to me. So I just went there and had private satsang with them. And then I asked them to do this more often, and they did it several times. I think it was 2-3 times a week. 2 times for sure. It might have been 3 at one point. Because I remember I spent a lot of time there, birthdays and all that stuff. And and then I ran into Mahanand the day or a few days before he died at the park on his little scooter. And when he passed away, then they all went back to India. And they were followers in Kulu, at the Valley of Kulu, of somebody. And like, again, gurus are always, you know, controversial, and who knows of whatever the tabloids said was true. But he was in the tabloids, and for the typical things that gurus get blamed for. But so Tantra and her whole family, I knew the whole family. And I had visitations of Swami Sham directly. He was himself originally a student of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, like Deepak Chopra and many others that did TM. And he basically broke off and basically had an awakening with this resounding sound. Now, what happens with this initiation is that it makes you highly creative. Swami Sham was a brilliant man. He would write music. It was so beautiful. He wrote books. Of course, he passed away. He slept very little. They were all vegetarians. And they were highly, highly creative people. So this Raja Yoga path, and I had spoken to one of our students about it, makes you really develop the throat chakra. So, and you know, the throat chakra is the space, the infinite space of the oneness, not the unlimited oneness, because in the sense of when you, the fifth dimension itself is oneness, but then we have the 12th and beyond, which is the unlimited oneness. And I noticed that they all wore, especially Swatanta, she would always wear a turtleneck, always. She would always keep her throat covered, kind of protected from wind and energy. And she was she was the one who was completely non-psychic, which is really interesting. And she was the one who had told me at one point that I would have a total awakening on all levels, which had, she meant with the body and everything else, not just on the level of the mind. So Amaramham Madhuramham helps, especially if you're here for the first year, it really helps you to go into a really beautiful meditation and to really realize the space very fast and very quickly, to realize the self that you are, the seer, the knower, the witness itself. And now that there is no structure anymore left, it's so much easier to just even go beyond it and just drop out, right? And just be in the unboundedness. So it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't restrict you, but can be very helpful. So is that good information?
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah. And this is 61243. Hello.
Hello, Ratima.
Oh, hi, Nadia. Hello there.
Hello. I just wanted to say thank you. And as you're talking with the initiations, you know, just feeling the, like, forms merge. Like, I don't know, when you see them in the lab under a microscope kind of thing, it just felt like that, but energy-wise. Just want to say thank you. And just my question is, where to from here? We continue meditating. What would you recommend? Or just continuing on with the courses, is there something in particular to help us in our journey?
Well, I'm going to see you for the retreat, right?
Yes. Yes.
There's a lot going to happen at the retreat. So let's just talk on the last day of the retreat.
Okay.
But otherwise,
that would be wonderful.
Yeah, just continue meditate. Do anything that an advanced meditator does. I'll get yourself in whatever way you can into that infinite state where you just forget yourself and you become thin like air. You just disappear, right?
Okay.
Whatever that is. If you do the mantra or in any way. That's a great question. Thanks, Nadia. Okay, thanks. And I know we have a question here from Karen. Hi, Karen.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was your first initiation. How do you feel?
Oh, my. Heavenly. I wasn't sure if I wanted to ask a question, but I just really felt to ask you about the Ganapati Puja. When you talked about the drilling down, I started my day today with that one, and it was just something that sparkled out when you said that drilling down, because you talked in that one about the 108 and how, I don't know, it just felt like rays of light. Can you just maybe share a little bit about that?
I'm trying to understand what you mean. What did I say about drilling down? I have no, I cannot.
And just right now with Winona, you mentioned something about the light.
Doing into the body. Yes, I remember. Oh, okay. Yeah. And we wanted to know more what that means, yeah?
Mm. Yes. Well, I got that sense this morning when I did the Ganapati Puja.
That's right, because pujas do drill the light into the physical. That's meditation takes you away because you want to get away from... You see, let's start again to a great question. Humans are caught in their sense perception. They think they are forms. they think they're bodies, and they think that everything you see is real because you can touch it and you think it's real. But that is, so when we start to meditation means to basically remove yourself, you detach from this perception, and then you basically just, as consciousness, you're not distorting yourself and making this all real. You detach and you meditate. You're just resting as consciousness itself. It's non-moving, and that's meditation. And when you keep doing this, what happens is that you basically have a realization at some point where you realize, my God, that's who I am. Because we have this idea that we are, I am the body, I am this person. But then suddenly you realize, oh my God, I am this emptiness, this space, this whatever that is, that here-ness. And then when that's realized, one, you open your eyes, you come out of the meditation, you might realize it in the middle of, I don't know, getting on the bus or going down the street. But then you are noticing there are different components to yourself that is because your body is made out of thoughts and you have this vast subconscious and unconscious conditioning. And so this realization now, this illumination begins to then now wipe out, delete and clear out and these concepts. And that's the process of enlightening the body. And we can feel that. We become less reactive. We move through the karmas of disease faster. We cycle through faster. Everything that appears is not really an illness. It's just karmas coming up. And that the more light there is, the faster they cycle through. And then there are, of course, physical changes that happen as well. And on the subtle levels, the astral body also, you know, begins to show certain skills, like in our clairvoyance and all these things, like from a very pure place. And of course, this can be taken deeper and deeper, where then the body can literally be transformed into light and poof, actually literally transcend into light and disappear. So, is that a little bit clearer, Karen, how the process works? So we first go inward to totally realize who we are, and then the next thing happens automatically. You don't do anything about it. That's then automatic. The great thing is that the suffering really stops the sense of who you are when you wake up. And then that physical, that on the being level, this because your being continues to suffer on in the physical level, that suffers less and less the more light is in the body. So you kind of come back in. You leave the world and you come back in.
Beautiful.
Okay, great. And thank you. Was there another question? Yeah?
Just for tomorrow's call then, do you prefer we call in half an hour, in the half hour later, or coming in on the initiation again?
Yeah, we can do exactly like today, because there might be, like Vainona, for example, there's some people that's going to be there tomorrow for the first time. So exactly like we do, like today. And I think I said that in my email. Yeah, we're just going to do on,
Yeah, so I can do it twice. I could come in a quarter or two.
Yeah, you can do that.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. I know. I have to say, I was going to do the initiation that I did in the first year, but no, it was very unclear. It kept shifting around, and I'm like, and then I had a very clear vision, and then just literally, even this morning, I thought something else would happen, but this is how it's unfolding. So I'm just going to go with that. So this is Katya, I think. Hi, Katya.
Hi, Rajima. That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for describing as well the second initiation detail. I don't know. I guess palpable. That's the word you use.
Yes, you could feel that.
Definitely. Yes. So it was good that you described a little bit. Mm-hmm. My question is: if I have to stay in the presence of somebody, the best I can describe who feels really heavy. And let's say, and I stay in my core and I obviously try not to react to conversations or whatever. Does it really matter if you stay in silence, if you respond, or is it all the same?
Doesn't really. If you're in your core, you're going to let life move through you, it's truthful, right? Whatever you either speak or you're not speaking. So there is no right and wrong, because what matters is that you're in your core. You might speak or say something loud or quiet or not. That doesn't matter.
Okay.
You understand that the need to have the world and our outer behavior conform to a concept needs to be dropped if you want to become enlightened, because the forms are not real. It's all a bunch of conditioning. And so your only need is to check if you're reacting or not. And if you're reacting, you just kind of work with that. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're reacting, you realize you're not in your core and you just try
exactly.
to
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Go back. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank mm-hmm. you. That was my
you're
question.
Welcome.
Thank
you. Yes, you're welcome. Yeah. And, hey, Kim. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say thank you so much.
Mm-hmm, thank
and
you.
I feel so much gratitude.
Oh.
And I don't even have the words.
Yes, it's hard.
Right? Very small. Thank you.
You're welcome. How do you feel now? How did you can you share something about your experience?
With the first one, I just felt just silence, and then I could hear some conversations in my mind, and then they were just, it was like they were just taken away, and and then I felt I felt inside like my body was disappearing,
mm-hmm.
almost like the earth, it looked like, but parts were invisible and then not, but it like a disintegration, that's what it felt like,
mm-hmm.
or not even felt, just sensed like was like mm-hmm. a disintegration. And then with the second, like a real deepening, a falling into the space where there was disintegration. I was just there, and there was just falling into that. Mm-hmm. And then, as you were talking, I felt like I don't want to open my eyes, and I just want to curl into you. And mm-hmm. I could feel as you spoke, it was like speaking into. I want to say my tissues, but there's no tissue there. Mm. I don't know.
No, I understand. Yeah, it makes sense.
And then there was just so much crying and wailing experienced, and then it was gone.
Mm-hmm. And it was gone.
And then it was gone. There was no pain with it. There was no, you know, I knew I was in my core, so I was observing it. Mm-hmm. And then it was gone. And I just don't want to open my eye.
You don't have to. So yeah, I won't make you talk any longer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for sharing. Thank you. That's good. I would like to say that when we are, this is a reminder, right? And it's like where the unbounded source, infinite, has touched you. And these things are not forgettable. So it's almost like a seed or something. It's not really a seed, but I'm just kind of using a metaphor here. So as it unfolds for you, in your own timing, and it can be very fast, you might find that there's this moment of fear, like absolute fear. And I know one of you, she's not in this course, she's in the other course, spoke about fear. And that's usually a good sign if you come to this sense of panic or fear, because you have learned that fear is just another vibration and energetic signature, and you let that fear just burn out. You just let it burn you and just burn right through, because it's really just this program. It's like this dike. that is between you and infinity. And it's just blocks, basically. It's like a knot within yourself. And you, as you let go, you're just like, oh, it's just like your clothes aren't that tight anymore. Just imagine wearing all your tight clothes all the time. That's how it is when you're not free. And suddenly it's like, oh, so comfortable. So, but the moment this happens, there's this incredible fear. It's very common. So don't let yourself get tricked. Just don't avoid it. And I know some of you are still falling for it, that this fear is something you should be listening to. This is just a vibration. You are the owner and the cause of all fear and all happiness and all anger and all joy. You are the self that creates everything, this whole drama. You are the beginning, you are the end. And in essence, you're always one with Source and have always been and will always be. And it's all just about seeing that clearly and allowing the antics of the moving mind, the thoughts, not to take over what's really true. So thank you for being here today, and I'll see you again tomorrow, and let's be silent for a moment again, and I will just quietly leave the call. So I'll just be here for another few minutes, and God bless you. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.